You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show.
It's AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
Well, 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 we are back. House of Cards. Netflix original series, season 2, episode 2. Episode entitled Chapter 15. Back in the mix, I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, After Buzzers, and joining me today is...
Hey guys, I'm McKay.
Hi, Sophia Stanley.
Hey, this is Nesta Garrick.
So, let's get right into it. We are going to... start from where we left off. going to episode 2.
Not bringing Zoe with us.
Train continues without
that
her.
That was love.
Choo-choo.
That's funny. So we start off at Frank's home that he insisted on not taking the normal presidential, vice presidential residence and making his home the vice president. I want to talk about this last episode because he insisted on having his own home. He told this head of Secret Service, like, you need to do whatever you need to do then because I'm staying where I'm staying. So do what you got to do security-wise to security-proof the home. And now there's all this construction going on at the home, and they're actually preparing for the private swearing-in, which I've got a theory about why he, it was more like on a symbolic type of level, why he decided to have a private swearing in instead
why?
Of, well, I just kind of feel like he knows deep down on a spiritual level how he got there. He's beating the system, and he believes in beating the system, but he's abusing the system because he's in a position of power, like on a whole nother level.
Right.
So, why have a public? I don't think Frank wants to be. To submit to public scrutiny, because everybody's not going to necessarily agree with that.
Well,
you have to think. Obviously, everybody's not going to agree with how did this guy become? What happened to the old guy? That's when they do it. You know, I'm sure he's dealing with enough as it is, but to make it public, he might have to deal with people in his face or be. You know, there's people always.
Just like what he said. You know, I mean, look at him. A heartbeat away from the president without one single vote.
But I think with him, he always pushes the envelope to the max, to the limit. And no one else would have thought about not moving into the community or the house that they have for the vice president. I don't think it would have crossed anyone's mind to go to that step and say, no, I'm staying in my own home. So he likes challenging whatever it is. He needs to do it his own way, on his own terms, to make sure he knows where the cameras are located. Mm-hmm. He already knows his own house. So
it's headquarters.
He has things that are going on in that house, and he needs to know where everything is and what better place than his own home. And I don't think he really cares about the vice presidency. That's why he's not making a big deal, because he has the ultimate goal in mind where he wants to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vice presidency is just a step. It's just another step. He obviously doesn't care about it because he's just as manipulative and powerful now as he was, a little bit ago.
And he still has some throats he still got to cut. I mean, there are still, from the first season, I mean, there were some people, some high people involved that now you're kind of seeing coming back into play, like Tusk, who was... one of the key people that made him not really able to get that promotion to be
Secretary of State
in the first season.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting now they're bringing him back into play with this whole international China trade issue. I mean...
big business in China. I mean, we have a lot going on with China. They bought our national debt, right? So there's a lot that we have riding economically with China, and economics always falls back on big business, and that's mm-hmm. where the economy rolls from. So you know, this guy is a multi-billionaire, you know, this character, Raymond Tusk, he is the guy when it comes to energy and a number of other things that have to do with international relations, obviously. In China, he has obviously a hub of business relations in China, and that is going to affect his business, Tusk Industries or whatever it's called, but it's going to affect his business to a great degree.
But isn't that also crazy how, like, just all of a sudden, like, within the show, how it got sworn in as vice presidency, and it got right, okay, first meeting, all right, hey, we got to touch, we got to deal with this stuff with China real quick. I mean, he just pretty much fell right into his position right away. And
Well, they've had their agendas of what they have to do, just like Claire, she had to pick up where the other vice president's wife took off, you know,
left off.
So it's the same thing with him, but more of, you know, going to the White House was very strategic, knowing that Tusk was going to be there. He had to, that was really important for him to be there while he's meeting with the president. So it was like going into the role right away.
I agree with you, but I don't, because again, let's be clear, Matthews wouldn't have been in the room.
Which was why I think the president was shocked when he showed up. Did you see his face when he was like,
Matthews is the former vice president. So I agree with you, but not in the same point that he's just picking up where the previous person left off. Claire is. Claire is picking up and doing events that the former
I don't think this meeting was on the calendar. I'm just saying, he's picking up his role, but he made it a point to be there because that is part of the role of the vice president, but Matthews wasn't doing it.
Exactly.
Matthews wasn't involved.
Exactly. And notice that literally it's technically two against two, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Tusk and the president, right? And Catherine Durant, who's the Secretary of State, who he maneuvered to get her position, right.
You got to also remember that the head of the Black Caucus is in that meeting as well.
Oh, wait. Are we talking about different meetings?
We're talking about the first meeting.
No, I thought we were talking about the China meeting. You're talking about the one with Terry Womack and Bob. We're talking about the second meeting, right? The second meeting with China, right? So it's Tusk, the president, Catherine, and Frank.
Exactly.
Right? And even notice the positioning, because I think they're just great. So the president's standing, so he's obviously at the head of the room. Mm-hmm. But still, Frank is still directly in front of him, sitting in a relaxed position.
Right.
And then you have Tusk and Catherine,
right?
So he seems as if he's in alignment with Tusk, but we then know the next scene that he's really in alignment with Catherine.
Right.
And the president is really a non-factor. And kind of going back to the whole private ceremony.
He's a softie.
And Frank acknowledges the fact that he's a popular president, but doesn't respect him.
Right.
So even notice in that room, he's already won. Because it's two against one.
Right.
And that's why I think everything that plays out leads to the fact that people who potentially were underestimating Frank are no longer doing so. Mm-hmm. But there is a certain element of Frank that likes to stay under radar and likes people not to see his power. And I think that's part of the reason why there wasn't a public ceremony.
Right.
He likes to go under radar. That's where he exists best.
But they still have respect for him. That's one thing that they don't have for the president.
Beyond.
Even Tusk calling the president by his first name.
Right.
You know, Frank mentions that he doesn't really see him beyond as a friend. Like, he doesn't have any respect. But when he calls Frank,
I even told him
he
that he's easy to be manipulated.
But when he calls Frank, he says, okay, like, goodbye, Mr. Vice President. So he's acknowledging the power that he has. Now he just needs to play the right moves to align himself with.
Yeah, most definitely. He has to align himself properly. If you think about a man like Raymond Tusk, he, you know, a guy who's somewhat country and who's in the position that he's in and is powerful. Powerful as he is, he didn't get there by accident. So the guy who can call the president, like, look, blah, 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 and he probably helped the president come into office or whatever.
That's what he said. Like, look at it. I mean, if he could easily make a phone call and he was the main reason that Frank was vice president. If it wasn't for him, he wouldn't have gotten the vice presidency. He was the main reason that he didn't get Secretary of the State. You know, it shows that his powers, you know, within the... And then I said, like, out of all the people you watch within the show, he's the only person that you see that's right beside the president.
Right.
That has that easy phone call task. I mean, I'm sorry. In this day and age, whoever's right beside President Obama is a pretty reliable big source. So, yeah. I mean, I think definitely what's happening now, which what I'm even seeing, is the frustration, though, of Turk, though.
Tusk,
sorry. See, I'm no Turk. Turk is Caicos.
You're thinking about going on vacation.
I'm thinking about going on vacation. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get a suitcase and out. Yeah, watch the rest of these episodes.
But if you look at the tone of how that, you know, that scene played out, mm-hmm. it was very a la Linda Vasquez from season one when the president met with Linda Vasquez, and Linda thought that Frank was aligning with her mm-hmm. because they met about what was going to go on and how that meeting was going to transpire. And as soon as Frank had an opportunity to open his mouth, he says the exact opposite thing. And Linda looks at him, and that's the same thing that happened with Kathy.
Kathy did a little mm-hmm. bit better of a job of holding it in, I think, mm-hmm. but keep going.
Right, well, she's Secretary of State, so she's got to her position by being a Jeep. And right. being a female at that position, she's pretty savvy herself on politics. And he manipulated that situation. He's mm-hmm. back up to his old tricks, just like right after the... What was it? The private swearing in. He had a meeting with two congressmen who are vying to become
the whip.
Yep. When the whole time he's going to Jackie Sharp to be the whip. Right. It's the same thing Marinating he did with Russo. Yep. I just hope that one of these guys doesn't end up in a car dead from carbon monoxide poisoning. No, you know what I'm saying?
But then Jackie.
I mean, he's showing everybody this when he's really doing something else. It's the same thing that he did with Russo. He's doing the same exact thing, but it's like, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
But one thing I like about this season, too, as well, I think it was definitely, as I said, it was a very great introduction to Jackie Sharp. Because, I mean, when I watched the first episode of season two, I was like, okay, who's this broad anyway? You know, like, how come she just come into place and Frank is just so, like, into her, you know?
Right.
And when she asked that question, I was like, okay, all right. I don't get it. Like, you gotta let me know. I know there has to be some play to this. And why? And when he pretty much broke down that, you know, just the way that he handled the war, and it's that she will do anything, no matter what, to get the job done. It's like what you said about Meech and Stamper and all those people. It's like, he almost like says, like, this person is bred to do whatever they want to do right. to get to the top. And if I just give them a little push, I would be able to be into my best interest. Which goes down to fast forward when she goes down in the end of the episode with when she realizes that the only way to get the extra votes is that she has to give up the guy Ted who helped funded her campaign mm-hmm. to go for Congress.
Who was like a father figure.
Right. To give up, like, well, we're going to let you, I'm going to have to put you out there that you have a dysfunctional, you know, daughter that you've been hiding all this time.
Right.
And sorry, you know, but I'm letting you know that the reason why I'm doing this is because this guy here is going to give me a spot. And yeah, he just wants to see you burn. But I hope you understand that I'm doing this for power and I still love you.
But he needs people like that. He's aligning people for a reason, just like Christina, right. bringing her into the White House. Mm-hmm. Everything is for a reason, because now people like Linda Vasquez have, they need to be thankful for their job, ultimately, you know, for the end goal when mm-hmm. he becomes president, which we all hope he does. Right. Or
I don't want this guy. I am not rooting for Frank.
No, that's a good point because, and I brought this up season one, and I think I was like probably the only person in the free world who did not realize that Frank's end goal was to be the president of the United States of America. Remember that? I'm bringing it up again. I still don't see it. Like, I don't see how he's going to do this. Because, mm-hmm. again, they don't waste scenes. So you have Rachel Maddow on the news basically saying, like, this is really underwhelming. Private ceremony. Not only was it a private ceremony, the president of the United States of America wasn't there.
Right.
So it's one thing to have it private. It's another thing that you had it when the president of the United States wasn't even in the country. Doesn't right. that seem a little weird?
And he just doesn't care for him, though.
But still, in the same point. So 2016 is the president's next election. It's not 2016 isn't Frank's next opportunity. 2016 is the next time that the president's going to run. So presumably, the president keeps Frank on the ticket.
No, but even during that, even when you go into the next run, a vice president can run against it.
Anybody can run.
And just like
the former vice president Matthews stepped aside and he inducted Frank, that the vice president can put somebody else on the ticket for the next one.
He can put somebody else on the ticket. The only way that the vice president can supersede the president, like head to head, is if the president dies. There is no way that any political party with a president that came in as popular as he came in, Gareth, right, mm-hmm. came in, is going to now, the party's going to split and you're going to push out an incumbent president?
Nixon.
Well, because there was scandal. So unless Frank, and that's where I'm going. So mm-hmm. I haven't completed it, if that makes sense.
Right.
But I'm really asking, how is he going to do this? Well, how okay. is he going well, to become right president of the United not, States
not
of America?
Saying, not saying that it's traditional. It's obviously not traditional. It's allowable that he is allowed to run against the president as yeah. the vice president but he will fall off of the
Garrett ticket.
He will step okay. away from vice president, and then he could run for president if he so chooses.
Right, that but doesn't you still mean have to split the party. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because at the right. end of the day, you still have, because let's assume that, what are we assuming that the president is? Democrat?
Yes.
Right? So we're assuming they're Democrat. So, right, he has to split the party. So you're telling me that the Democrats are going to fight amongst themselves, just like the whip race, right? So Frank's going to say, I think that the current president, who is part of my party, mm-hmm. who appointed me to be vice president, is so incompetent that I have to run head-to-head against him in 2016.
Or not necessarily run head-to-head, but have their party, the DNC, choose him over.
And again, you work. Really think, and I'm asking.
I'm not saying I think. I'm saying okay. what I think Frank thinks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think, okay. Yeah. Part
at the end
okay.
of the day,
I mean,
we're going okay. where Frank's going with this.
Okay.
You know?
Part right. of okay. being in the taking the role of the vice presidency is to get that much closer to him. Anything we know from Frank Underwood is that he will use everything and anything against okay. you.
To so manipulate the situation.
What better way to get his secrets or to get his strategies than to be his
okay.
right hand?
Yeah. Okay.
Except Linda Vasquez.
It's steps, baby. It's steps.
Okay.
Steps
right.
the world.
Okay.
I mean, you got to remember
Rome
this.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Okay. This guy's the only.
Nobody's right, but I'm still like,
he's right
I don't
there,
see
Frank.
It. I don't see it. I think the cards are going to topple.
I mean,
I don't see
they very well may topple. But the thing is, Frank, you know, he's power hungry and he's super manipulative. And this is his thing. That doesn't mean he's not going to attempt. He's going to attempt. That doesn't mean he's going to succeed, but he is going to attempt to manipulate the situation however he can, and he will play the cards how they're dealt to the best of his ability.
Because Frank is a little cocky right now. You can see within, you know, season two, just how he even handled the whole conversation, you know, with Tusk and everything. I mean, he just seems
just
like,
a little bit, because he did ask Claire, how does it feel to be married to the vice president?
Yeah, yeah.
And she said loud.
And the fact exactly and even at the end of the conversation, when Tusk had to say, "Yes, Mr. Vice President,"
right?
It's like, yeah, you got to say that. You can't just call me by my last name. You can't call me by my last name.
But we get a little taste of what Frank is capable of doing with the president by making him do the apology to China. Uh-huh. Because Durant could have done it, but he's like, no, you got to do it. So he told Durant, you know, just do it without having it be, what word did he use?
Sanctioned or approved. Well, because basically she basically had her delegates go in and bring up an issue and strong arm China when she was basically supposed to use a soft hand.
But don't do it like you're doing it intentionally. Like play it off. So, you know, making the president now take the fall or like the blame, even though it's not that big of a, you know, thing.
But true, well, but he did the opposite.
But
he
wasn't supposed to do that.
Exactly.
What he was supposed to do was just go in and show a strong position.
Right.
That's what he was supposed to do.
Right.
Go in and show a strong position as the president. And then what the Frank does is he plants those seeds after he has after what Durant's suggestion did not work.
Right.
He jumps on that conference, that speaker call with Tusk and Garrett while he's in the office. And now Tusk is saying, look, this didn't work. This is what we need to do. And then Frank agrees with Tusk in front of the president while Tusk is on the phone. Then they get off of the phone. The phone call is over.
Right.
And then Frank flips. He flips. Mm-hmm. And then says, look, you know, maybe you should do this, in essence. But he, of course, manipulates that conversation.
Yeah.
And even though he's still leaving a tone that he's agreeing with Tusk, but then he plants a strong seed in Garrett's mind because he's going to blow whichever way the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like he said. And says, but you know what? The decision's on you. It's on you.
Thaddeus don't even have respect for the president. He called him Garrett. Nobody don't like this guy.
I'm going to call him Gary, like his wife calls him Garrett. Gary, like his wife does. Because this guy is just like, what the? You know, I'm not, you know.
No backbone at all.
None.
Like, what do you think, Frank?
And you know what? He did that knowing that Garrett was going to screw up.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to make the right choice. And the choice, even if it was the right choice, he wasn't even going to go about it the right way. So he still wouldn't get the results that he wanted to get.
So you don't think that the beginning of Frank's goal was to get Garrett, the president, to do exactly what he did, which was basically take a hard line on China, which in essence was basically the first pawn move towards Tusk.
Severing his eye.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So that's so basically Frank manipulated everything just the way that he wanted
exactly.
to. Okay. All right. Just making sure.
That's
clear.
Exactly what he wanted.
By the way,
at the end, it won't come back to him.
Oh, you completely.
Know? So that's what I'm saying. By him being next to him, he can manipulate him and use him the way he wants it to go down.
Because remember, he's still in line with Tusk. So he's already presented an image to Tusk that I'm on your team. Mm-hmm. When the whole thing happened with
Durant
said, "Let me take us off hand," and he acted like he was on Tusk's team in front of Tusk.
But we're partners, not on his team, because he made it very clear.
Like, you know, Tusk threw out a suggestion of how to handle. We need to show a hard line, blah blah blah, this and this and that. And she said, "Well, let me use a soft hand." Okay, I'm going to agree with Raymond on this one. So now Raymond thinks that Frank is in his corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now Durant is on the outs because her suggestion didn't work. Mm-hmm. Now he's on the phone. Now Frank is on the phone with the president. Not on the phone. He's on the phone with Tusk in the office with the president.
Mm-hmm.
Now Raymond is saying, "I told you it wouldn't work. This is what you need to do. Blah, blah, blah." Again, Frank says, "I agree with Raymond."
See,
this is how
I took it differently. I actually didn't take it that Raymond was able to say anything. It seemed as if Frank was leading the conversation. And you could see that Tusk was even like, basically right before Tusk was about to say something,
Frank came in and cut him off. Yeah.
Even to the point
but
where,
it was on the same
but
page.
But he did agree to him. But he would say the same thing.
Right. It was the same thing.
Again, to me, there was a subtlety there. You almost saw Tusk actually realizing that he was losing his voice. Because if Frank speaks for Tusk, like if Frank is literally saying the same thing as Tusk before him,
I don't need to talk to Tusk.
Then I don't need to talk to Tusk. And that's actually, to me, what that exchange was. Because it literally was like right before Tusk said orange, Frank said orange. And you saw Tusk go, "Oh, crap, I should be happy because he's agreeing with me."
Right.
Then Tusk is about to be like, "Okay, and then we should do blue." And then Frank goes, "Blue." And again, you see Tusk go, "Oh, crap, that's what I was going to say."
Exactly.
But I'm losing my voice.
Right, exactly.
And again,
because he feels, because at the end of the day, Frank's whole agenda, not his whole agenda, but part of this agenda is to get the president to completely confide in him and for him to lose all trust in Raymond Tusk, because Raymond Tusk is that loose cannon that he can't control. This guy's in the private sector. Okay. He's not a politician. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's in the private sector. He's the guy who's always had the president's ear. So now what he has to do is in front of the president align himself with Raymond Tusk. So now now Garrett can look at him like, "Well, I don't always have to talk to him. I could talk to Frank because they think the same. I'm going to get the same kind of advice, blah, 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 blah."
Exactly.
So that's why when he gets off the phone, and then what's Tusk going to say? He's like, "Well, that's what I was going to say." What is he going to say? So his hands are tied. He can't argue with Frank because, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, sure. So now why is Garrett going to go to Tusk and speak with Tusk? But when he got off the phone, he switched it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left it alone and said,
"He was like, you're the president, buddy. You figured it out. But, you know, you're smart enough to make the decision. But, yeah.
But again,
you already planted the seed in there.
But again, I think it's really
he empowers him to be tough.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, he played to his ego. Because he basically goes, "Do what you think is right, because the American people elected you, not me or Raymond."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, he was basically like, "Okay, I know you want a little bit of power, and I can't."
And then he puts him here and him and Raymond over here. So you think about it, it was a total brain manipulation.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know what's so funny about, as you said, you mentioned some stuff about the show, how they just don't put things accidental, right? So, as you said, you know, they said, okay, put something in the meeting, you know, something that would just stir something up, right? So the funniest thing they put in about the cyber terrorism, right? You're like, okay, cyber terrorism, which seems like it's a pointless, no story.
It was just
to put it out there just for something. Then you fast forward down to Lucas, and Lucas is picking up on this cyber story and like, okay, wondering like, "Oh, well, you know, what's this all about? What is the issue?" And the guy's explaining, "Well, yeah, they, you know, China uses this to go ahead and do illegal stuff with, you know, illegal IP addresses and blah, 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 and access telephones and stuff like that." He's like, "Oh, really? You know, show me how you do it." And now that whole stir opens up a whole nother thing where now you could see that, okay, something about the telephone records And, of course, the vice president, after he, like an idiot, typed directly on the internet, not knowing who's going to be seeing your text message, that you would like to get records on the vice president.
That wasn't actually on his phone. That was...
No, on the computer.
On the computer, yeah.
On the computer, but clearly...
They can still get an IP address.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the easiest way. That's because you can send a text message on the phone and be using a burner.
Look, man.
Burner phone and throw it out.
If I'm some sort of hacker and I see some message that comes up like, okay, this person wants to get information on the vice president of the United States, just like right out there. I'm like, all right, I don't know if I'm messing with this guy. You know, this sounds like some federal setup or something. Or you just, I don't know. To me, just that step right there looks like a little downfall for this guy. But as I said, the whole thing I was just saying, it was just pretty interesting how that whole cyber story terrorist was supposed to be for one thing to... just to mess up the meeting with the Chinese and end up opening a whole nother story with Lucas and...
Well, let's talk about Lucas, because Lucas is completely distraught about...
Talk about Lucas. Lucas needs to take a bath.
About the whole Zoe situation. And, you know, Zoe is no longer, and Lucas doesn't know what to do. He goes to see Janine the end of last episode, and Janine is packing up her stuff. She's like, I'm going to see my mom in Ithaca. She needs me anyway.
She's like, I've never done this shit before. Right. I've dealt with terrorism. I've dealt with everything.
But right. Right. So Janine is out, which should have been the first hint to him to get out or to leave it alone. And he doesn't. He doesn't know what to do because this is the only person that was, you know, giving him sex and companionship. And he knows something foul has gone down. It's just way over his head. I think Lucas was in love with Zoe. You know, to me, he was in love with Zoe, but he knew how cold and distant she was, so he was taking steps in the relationship. But just like when he came when she was in the shower taking a shower, he was like, "You don't have to be like that. He's trying to become closer to her.
I am not saying that you're not in love with. I'm not doubting his love.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, when you put two and two together and you're like, okay, you know, Russo died, right? Then your chick died. Then this is coming from not no regular person, the vice president.
Right.
All your cell phones and data has been deleted and done.
Right.
You know what? I ain't saying that you quit, but that's when you kind of go mourn and reboot, maybe rethink the idea back again, you know.
Retreat.
Realize that this is maybe just a little bit bigger than you, you know.
Right.
But I think that's exactly why he has to move forward. Because if you look at it, Lucas has always been the journalistic integrity that is important to the balance of democracy.
You just setting Lucas up for failure.
No, but... I don't think so, actually. I really don't. Because at the end of the day, Frank keeps laughing at democracy. Every single second. He laughs at the fact that the president was voted in on a popular vote. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. That means that more than a majority of the people of the United States of America wanted this individual, right?
I don't think you deserve respect, Frank. I'm going to start coming with some FU cufflinks.
Did he win on the popular vote? Or was he a popular president?
No, he won on the popular. He's like, he remember the opening. Frank goes, he won 60. I'm going to make up the percentage. Let us know on iTunes or Twitter and YouTube because I know I'm going to get it wrong. But let's say he said something to the effect of he got 67% of the popular vote. Anyone who can do that, there's a shift in the tide.
Right.
That's basically why he says he no longer wants to be like a shoveler of manure, and he wants to get on the other side. Like, he's basically riding this wave.
Right.
And again, we've talked about this before, it's the difference between the old guard traditional and the new guard.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas, to me, symbolizes both. He's right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He is old school enough in terms of his journalistic integrity. That's why before he wasn't saying move forward with this story, because there wasn't enough evidence, there wasn't enough substantial sources to really move forward. Now he realizes, wait a minute, this isn't simply just some potential congressman getting rid of a DUI. This potentially goes into A, positioning himself to be the vice president of the United States of America, and in so doing, he was willing to kill at least one person, maybe others.
Right.
The whole concept of journalism and the reason that the First Amendment is one of the most protected of our rights is because you need the masses and the people to every once in a while say, stop. Even if that stop is saying it to the government, he's so integral that he cannot stop. I think they're putting it within the guise of he's in love. He's, you know, his heart's broken. He basically is like, I can't believe that this person took away my girlfriend, my lover, whomever, whether or not it was real or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than that. It literally is that he now knows, just like Frank said, that the vice president who wasn't even voted in a democratic process got there by killing people.
Yeah, but then even look at it when he brought the old boss, the old editor in back when he came into the meeting.
Hammerschmidt. He enlisted Hammerschmidt
out. Listened to everything. Hammerschmidt even looked at him from a real journalistic standpoint and was like, okay, what you could say is could be 100% right, and you could tell that he kind of believes him. But from a journalistic standpoint,
would you believe you?
Could this sell out with no evidence, no tape, your witnesses are dead,
exactly,
and you have to find this miracle person named Rachel where we don't know where she's at.
But that's exactly where it comes in with the deep web. You're totally right. Hammerschmidt basically laid out to him what you need in order to move forward, and that's exactly what Lucas has done. Lucas is like, okay, then I need to find proof. And
but
how's he finding
proof?
He's
making himself the target. When he goes down to the station to review the tape, they show him how, scene by scene, what happened. And the police officer even said, even if there were phone records, it looks like she jumped in front of the train. So what are you doing? You're just putting your name out there for you to be the next target, like Rachel.
Isn't that what every journalist does? Isn't that why they have integrity and they protect their sources, even if it means that people can come up after them? Isn't that what journalists do in the fact that they actually literally go into war-torn countries?
Yeah.
So what, you think that, like, insurgents are going to be like, oh, you're a reporter, I'm not going to kill you?
Right.
No. They're putting their life on the line to a similar extent as the military.
Right.
Why? Because they're basically saying that the story, the in pursuit of democracy, because usually that's why we're somewhere else in war, right? In pursuit of democracy, it is so important for people to know what's going on. I am literally willing to put down my life.
Well, that's why
he is like he is.
Yeah, but I would have expected Janine to pursue it more than he is.
Let me explain to you why Janine is not going to pursue it. Because Janine, when she recognized in season one, and she asked Zoe, where are you getting these stories from? You're sleeping with somebody. And she knew. And you know why she knew? Because she's been there and done that. So she obviously, if you're bedmates or pillow mates with a number of, and she was sleeping with a number of people who have power, not just one person. Zoe was new to this whole thing. Oh my gosh, I'm sleeping with this congressman. I'm getting these stories, blah, blah, blah. Janine has been there. She's done that. And she's like, you know what? It's not worth it. And I'm sure for a fact that she's seen some things and witnessed some things that she stepped back and was like, wow, before when she was the young, hot reporter.
Right.
So as soon as she saw Zoe get wiped off, she was like, oh, no, I know exactly what's going on. And because I'm this close, because we've been meeting and we've been collaborating, trying to find evidence and this and this and that, it's only a matter of time before. Janine is no punk. She's smart. Janine is a tough, smart cookie. She realized and recognized what level and the stakes that have been placed in front of her, and she was like, oh no, it's time to quit. These are forces and powers that we're not equipped to combat.
No, we
can't. There's nothing that we can do. I'm out of here now before I end up just like Zoe, and you should do the same. I'm sorry, I feel really bad about Zoe, because she did. She felt bad about Zoe. That her and Lucas had a moment when Lucas came. They gave each other a hug. At the end of the day, that does not change the situation.
That hug lasts like 30 seconds. She was like, all right, hug you. I feel sorry for you. All right, I got to pack my bags and get the heck out of here.
And now, what's funny is I feel like Janine represents a part of America, and I feel like Lucas represents a part of America as well. And with the Lucas situation, it's like, open your eyes. There are certain powers that are going on in government. You need to open your eyes and see, like, how naive can you be? And then some of the American people are very naive in how they look at the system. You're looking at Lucas, who goes to the police station to report a murder that you think the vice president committed. You're going to go down to your Beat Street homicide.
I mean, it's still his contact, though. I agree with you, but it's still his contact at the police station.
I mean, but he went over there. He got, like, a whole sports center instant replay of the murder scene. I mean, after that,
I hated it too. She like exploded. Like,
oh my god,
that was horrible.
And he even, hold on, you could tell the other guy didn't even care. He's like, hold on, I'm telling you a trip. Let me zoom in real quick. Hold on, tip.
Yeah, frame by frame. Yeah, so
I mean,
he's disturbed. He's not changing clothes. He's not showering. He's going to work. I think the meeting with Hammerschmidt was detrimental to him, because it kind of encouraged him to a certain degree. He, you know, it's one of those situations where someone's desperate and they hear what they want to hear instead of hearing what they should hear.
But he's acting with emotions, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not disagreeing with what you're trying to say and everything like that, but then, like, okay, when it comes to, like, professionalism and real journalistic decisions, right now, his decisions that he's making right now are pretty much based off of emotions, and that's what I'm saying. Even somebody, if he's trying to even get the same information about the hackers and stuff, I think that, okay, even the way that he had typed that could have been texted out in such a smarter way to still try to find someone to help you versus then to be that so direct.
I'm going
to
say, go ahead, Emma.
And also to go up against someone, you know, not aside from being the vice president who has so much influence over the city and was able to alter a police report, you know, with Russo on numerous occasions.
Exactly.
It's like,
this guy no joke.
Okay. And I don't know.
This is going to be a final thought.
I am going to go home and next time we'll talk about it more. The facts of Watergate. Because I feel like this is very similar. Okay. And at the end of the day, the journalist who broke Watergate was in the same situation. Mm. And there comes a point when you don't care about life or anything like that because liberty is bigger than life. So at the end of the day, Watergate took down the president of the United States of America.
But was the person that took down the United States of America with Watergate as emotionally involved in this scenario? That's a good question.
Good question. But again, you can argue that it's still love of country. But great point.
But because with Lucas... It wasn't love of country. Blinded. It went beyond the story. He doesn't care about the story anymore. It's like someone's killed my girlfriend.
No worries, Sophie. I'm gonna bring you my I love Lucas. you definitely are like a big fan of this guy.
Oh my god! I mean, we're pro Frank and not
journalistic.
Nice guy.
We're sorry, guys. Sorry, we didn't get a chance to have a break. But you guys can go on iTunes and you guys can check us out. You guys can comment. You guys can rate. You guys can subscribe on Twitter. You guys can subscribe on YouTube. And we can continue any conversation. You guys go ahead and talk to any of us. We're going to give you our handles right now on all the social media outlets. That way you guys can get a hold of us. And next time you guys want to call in and comment and rate because we had a quick episode this week, you can call 424-256-1729. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey. Where can we find you guys? Nesta,
you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nesta Garrick.
You can find me on Twitter at Sophia Stanley.
You guys can find me on GQJedi.com, Twitter, and Instagram at RealEmmaKate.
And you can find me on GQJedi.com, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at ClubThaddeus. Until next time, after buzzers.
Chill! Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV
or its owners. Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here, and be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.